until they are confronted, exposed and naked before God. And then the fear sets in. Yes, this world is filled with frightened sinners who have no idea how to deal with the holy God that they know they've offended. They know they deserve and will face death. But what we see in this section, this amazing part of Scripture, is the power of the gospel. The Lord brings his gospel as he comes himself, calling out to frightened sinners. God was not out to get them. Just as he is not out to get you, and he's not out to get the people of this world, God comes with first his gospel.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. June 9th, 2024. Genesis 3:8-15.
Have you ever faced that moment of crisis? You know, that circumstance in your life where everything just seems to turn suddenly on its head. Maybe it was a car accident, some major incident or revelation that came, some truth, or an illness that just came crashing down. A lot of you have experienced something like that, where all of a sudden your whole world just turned upside down and everything became suddenly frightful, difficult, almost impossible to deal with. I'm sure whatever it is you're thinking about, whatever you experienced, it paled in comparison to what the first man and woman faced in what we read earlier this morning. That moment, when they realized what they had done, when they realized what was going on. It says here in Genesis chapter 3, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord." Normally, you can picture them when they heard the sound of the Lord, his voice or his presence, that they rejoiced and they ran to be in his presence and to meet with him. That's the way it should be. But something new had come into the world, something we call fear. This sound of the Lord caused them to hide. They heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. It almost sounds ridiculous when you think about it. This once innocent man and woman have no idea what they have now done and what they are going to face. They have no idea how to handle it. They are, you might say, shell-shocked. You know, when someone trains to serve in the military, they understand what shell shock is, and they train the soldiers so that if some major sound or event happens, they don't just stand there as our natural response, unable to respond appropriately to the circumstance. No, they train them to get up, to do something about it. I'm sure Adam and Eve were shell-shocked as they suddenly realized what was coming. The Lord God. The Lord God who they, just moments earlier, had turned against. The Lord God who gave them everything and said, "You can eat from every tree in the garden and save one." And they chose to break his command and sin against him and join the side of the serpent, that is, the one we see who is the devil, an enemy of God. They knew they had turned and rebelled and used the very breath and hands that he had given them to defy him. They had never experienced how God treats sinners. And so they hid. What better could they do? After all, isn't that what we do when we have something that is plaguing us, some fear or some guilt? We try to just shove it under the table and pretend it's not an issue. Or if we do have to confront that issue, we make sure that we don't encounter the people or the things that will cause us to fear and feel the guilt that is ours. After all, isn't that one of the reasons, among many other selfish reasons why people will do terrible things like murder, abortion, or just lie? Because all those guilty acts are there to cover up the sin that is behind what they have done. That's how the world responds to sin, isn't it? They try to hide from God and pretend that God doesn't know or God doesn't exist, or hopefully he doesn't care. Maybe we turn to that, our natural instinct, when we're shell-shocked and realize that our sin is exposed, that we are exposed, to try to run, hide, and cover up the evil. But we know that that doesn't work. The Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" God knows. How silly to think that God is somehow needing to search for the very people he had created, the God who fills heaven and earth. He knows. But here, God comes to frightened sinners. And he approaches frightened sinners in a way they don't yet understand or expect. "Where are you?" The man answers, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Fair enough. Adam doesn't confront the issue. He just addresses the problem. "I don't want to deal with you, God. I'm afraid." Isn't that the way that so often you will find people view the Lord God? As if he's somehow out to get them. You'll talk to someone, maybe a friend or a neighbor, about the truths in God's word and what God reveals about himself and about us. And they'll think that they have to defend themselves. They'll put up their guard and they'll say, "I don't want to talk about that." Or they'll think that somehow you're out to get them because the God that you're speaking about is out to get them. Is that the way God approaches sinners? The man found out that he had fear, so he tried to defend himself simply by skirting the issue. And the Lord said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" Now God just lays it out. All Adam has to do is admit his guilt. All he has to do is say, "Yes, that's what happened. Have mercy, Lord, I'm sorry. I sinned against you." But instead of admitting his guilt, what does the man do? He falls into suspicion, anger, betrayal. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the tree and I ate." Notice Adam doesn't even admit his guilt. He just ate. And it's not Adam's fault, it's the woman's fault. He's already betraying the woman he had first praised as bone of his bones, flesh of his flesh, a gift of God. And now he's ready to condemn her so that he can go free. His ego swells as he tries to cover his tracks. And then, did you note the suspicion against God? "The woman you put here." Frightened sinners know that they can't fight against God, but they'll still try. "Lord, it's your fault that I have this struggle against alcoholism. And now that my sin is exposed, it's not my problem. It's really the situation I've been in. It's the hard life that I have. God, you made me that way." And whatever sin you struggle with, isn't that same sinful heart there to turn it against God and to make it his fault? God now turns to the woman. The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" He knows. But God comes to frighten sinners. All Eve had to do was to say, "I sinned. I broke your will." But once again, the guilt is deferred. The woman said, "The snake deceived me and I ate." Notice she doesn't admit guilt. She simply ate. What is so bad about that, Lord? Don't we trivialize sin in that way? Or blame those circumstances around us or the devil? That the temptation was just too great. I'm only human. Sinners sin, we might say. And the devil tempts. And he causes us to think that we're free to boldly sin like Eve once did until we cower in fear. And then he points the finger at the sinner and says, "Now what are you going to do?" This world is filled with frightened sinners. They try to cover up their fear by making it look as if they're not really feeling guilty. But when the hardness hits, when that rustling sound comes of God coming near and death draws near, There's fear. And sinners might put on a front that maybe it's someone else's fault or it's God's fault, and they're completely innocent, and they're ready to condemn all their friends to God's judgment, but them? No. Until they are confronted, exposed, and naked before God. And then the fear sets in. Yes, this world is filled with frightened sinners who have no idea how to deal with the holy God that they know they've offended. They know they deserve and will face death. But what we see in this section, this amazing part of Scripture, is the power of the gospel. The Lord brings his gospel as he comes himself, calling out to frightened sinners. God was not out to get them. Just as he is not out to get you, and he's not out to get the people of this world, God comes with first his gospel, his call, his gracious word. And in that word, yes, there is a call to repentance, but behind that is a God of mercy and love, the Lord God, the God of free and faithful love. Sinners don't need to be frightened when the Lord comes. Sinners don't need to hide. Sinners don't need to turn against this God. Instead, they need only to hear what God then says for the benefit of Eve and Adam, who was also with her. So the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life." The ground will end up being cursed. The land itself will produce thorns under a curse. This world faces a curse because of the ruin of sin. And the devil is cursed. But Adam and Eve? What we see here is God resolving and dealing with the enemy. As he speaks to the serpent, he speaks to the devil, who in some manner, in some way, spoke through that serpent. And what we see as we observe snakes still today is a reminder, much like the rainbow, a reminder of God's faithfulness. The serpent is a reminder of this curse. God spoke to the devil and first condemned the devil, cursed the devil for what he had done. And Adam and Eve did not need to be afraid. The only one who needed to be fearful and frightened was the serpent. For God said, "And I will put enmity between you, devil, you, serpent, and the woman." You might think that you've brought Eve to your side, Satan, but not so. I will turn this around. "And between your offspring, Satan, and Eve's," that is, believers and unbelievers will be in conflict. We see that right away with the first children of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. There's conflict between those who worship the Lord and follow their God and those who do not. That conflict exists because of sin, and those who find the gospel and receive it and hold to it and have God's mercy, and those who run and hide and reject and turn in suspicion and anger against God. There's only two camps in this world. And then finally, he says to the serpent, "He," that is, the seed or offspring of a woman, "will crush your head, Satan, and you will strike his heel." See the gospel come to frighten sinners. And as it comes to frighten sinners, God says he will take this day where everything turned around for Adam and Eve, and everything was just frightful and upside down, and he will flip it back. He will make the devil not their friend, but their enemy. And he will make believers throughout time and history people who are children of Adam, sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. And they will not be on Satan's side, but the Lord's side. As he calls sinners, frightened sinners, and he says to them, "Where were you? Did you sin?" And those sinners need only listen and find what Adam and Eve experienced that day. God does not come to frighten sinners, firstly to condemn, but to call them back. And God comes to frighten sinners so they might hear that he has a plan to crush the real enemy, the devil, and to undo what he has done. That one born of the woman is the one that all believers throughout time held to. And frightened sinners are found on the pages of Scripture hearing that echoed promise, a seed will come. One will be born who will turn things around. And throughout time and history, the people of God held to that promise. Though frightened by sin and frightened by the attacks of the enemy, they need not fear, because the serpent crusher would be born. And then came that man we read about earlier, who in many respects looked like one simply born of the woman, an offspring of Mary, but no ordinary earthly father, conceived by the Spirit. This serpent crusher is the fulfillment of prophecy, the Lord their Redeemer, their Savior God. Our youth confirmands this morning picked out verses that mean a lot to them. One verse is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God sent this serpent crusher to be the world's rescuer. And it's not one who would simply trailblaze the way that we can fight the devil on our own, but no, that whoever believes might not perish, but have eternal life. Another verse that was picked is Titus 3:5. He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. God, our Savior, appeared, Jesus, the Son of God, to destroy the devil's work. And fulfilling this prophecy, yes, he was struck by the devil as he hung on the cross, but he triumphed and by his death, defeated the curse and destroyed the work of the devil by himself becoming a curse for us on the cross. You were not cursed, but he took that curse so you might be free. And the third youth confirmed picked the verse, I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever struggles, whatever fear, whatever guilt, we know the Lord is on our side. And when we do fall into sin, we don't need to run. We don't need to live in fear or try to make excuses or hide our sin. The Lord calls frightened sinners. And when he calls them to himself, they can hear his plan of salvation. They can hear the defeat of the enemy. And they can hear what he has in store for the people of God, life everlasting. Fear gone. I don't know if you've had a big turnaround day yet or not, but the biggest turnaround in your life was when God came to you, a frightened sinner, whether as an infant or an adult, and he gave you the gift of new life. And the greatest day of your life is when he, in baptism, poured out his Spirit and called you his own. And the greatest turnaround yet to come is when he takes away our fears forever. And we won't need to be afraid when the Lord God comes and we suddenly hear that sound. It won't simply be the rustling of leaves in the garden. It will be the sound of God's trumpet call. It will be the angels of God and Christ, the risen one, coming in glory, in victory. And our fear will be forever removed as we will reign with him. See the power of the gospel. It comes to frightened sinners and removes their fears. Amen.